Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi wahdahu wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa la kitaba ba'da kitabihi wa la syari'ata ba'da syari'atihi wa la ummata ba'da ummatihi. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin asa an yakunu khayran minhum. ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكن خيرا منهن إلى آخر الآيات. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا معشر من آمن بلسانه ولم يدخل الإيمان قلبه لا تغتابوا المسلمين ولا تتبعوا عوراتهم فإنه من اتبع عوراتهم يتبع الله عورته وَمَنْ يَتَّبِعِ اللَّهُ أَوْرَتَهُ يَفْضَحُ فِي قَلْبِهِ فِي بَيْتِهِ أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected honorable elders, brothers, friends in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed every one of us with the Qur'an Sharif. And the Qur'an Sharif is a means of inspiration every time we recite it. Any person who is sick, example, maybe a person is diabetic and he is not feeling well, then he's got his machine. He's not feeling well, he'll quickly prick himself, quick reading, where's the sugar sitting? Then he knows how to pace himself sometimes. Sometimes you go in for a function, you quickly take your insulin or you'll do your readings, and we know what's to, how to pace ourselves for the function. Now that pricking ourselves gives us a reading of where I'm standing. Today is the sugar high or is it low? Can I indulge? Is it a cheat day or not? And similar is the Quran Sharif. Every time we recite an ayat and a verse of the Quran is like just pricking into that level of iman to see that whether I'm on a good position or not. That this ayah, is it living in my life or not? This command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, am I walking the talk or is it just a message that is found in my kitab and in my Quran and in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the Quran is a living message. Any person who understands Quran and he recites Quran, every time he recites, then it's like a shock. It's like a shock treatment for a person whose iman may be dead. It just jolts us every now and then to say, my Allah is telling me this. And how far am I from this reality? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability that the Quran Sharif, one is we recite the Quran and one is we understand also the Quran. Allah give us tawfiq that we make efforts. Even if it's one verse for the day, brothers. Even if it's one verse, read that one verse and the translation of it. Match it. Look at the Arabic, read it. Look at the English, or whichever language we understand, and read that and say, my Allah is speaking to me. Is this really in my life or not? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that we take steps in that direction of understanding the Quran Sharif, inshallah. Imagine a person in his 70s, hears a bayan regarding the Quran Sharif. Now he wants to change his life and he says, I have to learn tajweed. In his 70s, he says, I'm close to the qabr, I have to change my life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have life, we have opportunities. Let's use all of these opportunities in the Quran Sharif. In the 26th juz of the Quran, a surah, Suratul Hujurat, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the conduct, the akhlaq, the character, the sublime conduct that every one of us need to imbibe, to bring within ourselves. We need to mirror our lives with the Quran Sharif. That am I what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects me to be? Like a person who is working, he's in a working environment, in a business house, then he's always checking himself. Am I doing what is expected of me? If I'm falling short, then I know I may be just the first one to leave. So I am in this work, I'm the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Is Suratul Hujarat in me? Let us give time today. Brothers, read Suratul Hujarat. Suratul Hujarat, Mufassirun give the term and the name of it, Suratul Akhlaq. The surah regarding the akhlaq of a believer. And in Surah Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses many aspects. The first ruku, if it's a 13 line Quran, the first two pages, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dedicates that first page to adab, etiquette relating to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How should I deal with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Be careful, don't raise my voice, too high if I'm in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into that one page. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses difference of opinion, which we may term as ikhtilaf. How to deal and handle with difference of opinion. If not dealt with correctly, it will lead to malice, hatred into the heart. Now we need to be very, very guarded with regards to differences of opinion. Be as it may, whether it be in my family life, whether it be my social life, financial life, domestic life, every facet of my life and sphere of life, if there is differences of opinion, how to deal with the situation is important. But the way we want to get to is some important aspects starting from the second ruku of Suratul Hujarat. Now very important that akhlaq come into us, because none of us are living in isolation. We are living with people around us. At times you have your wife or wives, you've got your children, person has got his extended family, then you've got neighbors to deal with, and then you have the musallis in the masjid, you have a community, and we have the global ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now how do I interact with people around me? How do I deal with people around me? This is of utmost importance that we bring akhlaq into our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts that second ruku by discussing, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O those people who claim to have iman. If you feel you're a mu'min, you're a believer, you've got this quality of iman, then are these commands in your life or not? For if you had iman, then these qualities would have definitely been in your life. لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created every one of us, is saying, O believers, O men, O women of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not mock someone else. But the first part is, no man should mock another man. Perhaps he's better than you. وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنْ No lady should mock another lady. Perhaps that other lady you're mocking is better than you. Perhaps she's better than you. Now this is important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O men, don't mock men. O ladies, do not mock ladies. Mufassirun extract from this a very pertinent point for us. Never does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala generalize it. Why a man is not supposed to be engaging, discussing and talking with a female if it's not a necessity. If it's an opposite gender, it's not a close relative, then the segregation of genders is of utmost importance. How many cases are ulama dealing with? Because we sat on one table, and one husband made a joke, and someone else's wife laughed, becomes a problem the night. When I make jokes, you don't laugh. When he made a joke, you were laughing. Well, your jokes are dry. Okay, maybe my jokes are dry, but you're not supposed to be laughing like that and giggle in front of someone else. Now, it tickled him. But if you maintain that segregation, would it have ever come to this? Never. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, men, don't mock men. Ladies, don't mock ladies. And important for us, that whether it comes and it relates to dunyawi, meaning materialism, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, whether we enjoy a palatial home, a luxurious car, whether we enjoy any of the facilities that Allah has given us in relation to this earthly life, materialism, drive the best of cars. No one's stopping you. Enjoy that vehicle. But when someone next to you is stuck, and he is a friend, or he's someone in society, don't laugh at him. Don't say, yeah, I must work hard. Things don't just come easy. You enjoy life, now you expect to be like me? Can't happen. Then you laugh at the person. You overtake him on the road, and you reach your destination quicker. You have to live for this. You have to work for it. Hard work pays off. Na'udhu billah. Those bounties Allah has given us, never look down at anyone. Whether it's your home, whether it's the car, whether it's even the deen of Allah. If I come for Fajr Salah and someone does not come, never say, astaghfirullah, look at that shaitan. No wonder in our complex we don't have barakat, you don't come for Fajr. That's the problem. Ulama say 40 houses get the ill effects. These people don't come for Fajr. Never look down at anyone. Whether we enjoy any bounty in the deen of Allah, whether I read Quran correctly, whether I've been for Hajj or Umrah, or whatever we enjoy in the deen or in the dunya, never look down at anyone in society. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, he enjoys a higher and better position in the court of Allah. You don't know? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not find fault with yourselves. Look at the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coins this phrase. Don't find fault with yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say, do not find fault with someone else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say, do not take out the fault of your brother. Don't fault yourself. What does that mean? If I am looking for the fault of my Muslim brother, I'm bringing the flag of Islam down. If I am going to tarnish and his name, I've just put a blemish and a tarnish on the name of Islam and Muslims. Not him in particular. Yes, he may, obviously it may be his name in particular, but you are running down Islam, you're running down Muslims. One area of caution for every one of us. In social media, if ever you receive any message, no matter from who it is, if someone's name is on that message, do not forward it. If you're naming and shaming, do not forward that. Don't say forwarded as received. Just read as I've received. No. If that person has to start harboring ill feelings for someone, whoever it may be, an alim, a zalim, a friend of Allah, enemy of Allah, don't ever share that content. Hide it. You need advice? Go to someone you're comfortable with. Mulana, this is the issue, I've received it. How do I deal with it? This is what I've received. How do I overcome it? Is it true? Is it not true? What should be my stance? Nabi sallallahu, this is sufficient for us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man satara musliman fi dunya, satarahu Allahu fi dunya wal akhirah. If you hide the fault of your Muslim brother in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'll hide your faults in this world and the next. And we know the skeletons we've got. We know the blood we've got on our hands. We all know where we have faulted. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, just hide the faults of your Muslim brother. Hide it. And I will hide all your faults on the day of Qiyamah. I will never shame you on the day of Qiyamah. And that's what we all require. Hatim, rahimahullah, was a great muhaddis of his era. Hatim, rahimahullah, was a muhaddis. Now for a person to be a muhaddis and a scholar in hadith, you need to obviously have that faculty of hearing, understanding, and speaking, because you have to hear the hadith from your ustad to enter into the chain of narrators. Then you have to have the ability to speak it out so the chain continues. But he was known as Hatim al-Asam, the deaf. But how can you be a muhaddis if you are deaf? One day Hatim rahimahullah was sitting. In those days the masjid used to be the center of all activities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that our heart is attached to the masjid. And amongst the seven people who will be granted shade under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسْجِدِ. That person whose heart is throbbing and, you know, waiting to get back to the masjid. Such a person. So he used to be in the masjid. People would come, take advice, etc. One day a lady came and she was suffering from an illness where very easily she would pass away. So she tried her level best, you know, to come into the gathering and free herself. But as she came into the gathering, and she said, Sheikh, he said, Naam. She started her question, and she let go gas. Now everyone around, the disciples, are all laughing and they're giggling. And they all have seen, she got no shame, no sharam in her. Look at this. Look at this lady. And they all are laughing. Hatim rahimahullah saw what was happening. Immediately he says, Ya Imrati, excuse me lady, irfa'i sawtaki. I cannot hear you. Speak loudly. I've got a problem. I'm hard of hearing. So the disciples were all shocked, like, Hazrat, what's happening here? Anyway, she said, Shukr. At least Hazrat never heard. He said, Sheikh, this is my question. She posed the question. He gave the answer and she left. When she left, the people and the disciples are saying, Hatim, Ustad, Sheikh, what did you do? What did you scream? You're not deaf. He says, I pretended to be deaf just to save the feelings and the heart of that girl and that lady. When you all started laughing, you'll be breaking her feelings. I just wanted to put those broken pieces together at least. So tasamama, he was not deaf. He pretended to be deaf just to save the integrity and the face and the honor of that lady. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're not asking any one of us to pretend. No need to pretend. Just be careful. Deliberately we are running down people. Deliberately we are finding fault with others. Deliberately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. We be very cautious and careful. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we look, one is imaniyat. Ma'ina, the core beliefs that we all share. Then we have the aspect and the chapter of ibadat. Ibadat are our physical offerings. My salah, my zakat, my hajj, alhamdulillah, sadaqat, nafal, everything. Building masajid, promoting the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whichever way possible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us for all of that. For our ibadat. So we earn our reward, we earn handsomely, mashallah, with ibadah. Person wakes up for tahajjud, he'll read his Quran Sharif, ma'mulat, wada'if, durood Sharif. Friday, today, person will read lot of durood, alhamdulillah. But there's two aspects we need to be very careful and cautious of. This is where we find pilferage, leakage. This is where our ibadat is getting lost. Mu'amala and mu'ashara. Financial dealings, and number two is with regards to mu'ashara, interpersonal relations, my social interaction with people. If we are negligent and fall short in mu'amala and mu'ashara, your tahajjud is giving to someone else. The tilawat of Quran we made for today is credited to someone else. Why? You foul-mouthed him. You owe him money, you have the ability, but you haven't paid him. You're dealing in stolen goods. You're trying to monopolize the market. Whichever way we're doing, anything wrong, all that ibadah that we are earning, all gets lost. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Mu'amala and mu'ashara, we be very, very guarded and cautious with regards to how we interact and how we deal with people around us in society. Back in the days, there was a person, Ahmad ibn Mahdi. He was a pious person of the day. A lady one day ran into the masjid. He says, Imam, Imam, Imam. He says, yes, can I help you? He says, do me a favor, please cover my fault. Cover me, please. He says, okay, cover you. How do I cover you? So this girl is saying, I just got raped outside. I got raped. And most likely I'm going to be pregnant with this child. Can I say that you're the father of the child? He says, wait, hold on now. I must say, I'm the father of the child. So he kept quiet. He says, I'll cover you. He didn't say, I'll see I'm the father. He said, I'll cover you. So she went away. She gave birth 9 months later. And everyone's asking, how did you become pregnant? Sheikh's the father of the child. So no one had the courage to even come to Sheikh. I mean, you know, back in the days, we know like the Ustad, like you won't even, you're scared of the Ustad back in the days. Okay, now it's a different ball game we're playing. But back in the days, people were scared in awe of the Ustad. You saw Ustad, you took another road, you were scared. So here, no one had the courage to even come and ask him, Sheikh, you the father? No one has asked him, he just kept quiet. One day, in the gathering, a person came with a golden coin. He says, Sheikh, for the baby. Now he says, okay, now I'm in a position. What do I do now? He says, oh, hold on. I'm separated from the girl. Give it to the mother directly. He didn't say, I'm not married. He didn't say anything. He just said, I'm separated. He didn't say a divorce. I'm separated. So this person thought, okay, Sheikh maybe gave divorce. He took the golden coin and he went and gave it to the mother. She took care of the child. Eventually, the child passed away after 1 year. Child passed away. So he said, okay, like, you know, things are quieter now. Everything is okay. This girl comes with a bag of coins over the year that was collected from gifts and say, Sheikh, this belongs to you. So he said, no, it does not belong to me. They brought it for the child and not for me. I said, give it to the mother. Did they not deliver it to you? So you keep the money. Anyway, you're the only heir, so you keep it. It's your inheritance. But Sheikh, you said nothing. No one asked you. Nothing happened? He says, I just have hope on this one hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If I can cover your sin, or I can, not even a sin also. If I can cover this one blemish on your name, if I can cover it, inshallah, Allah will cover my faults and sins on the day of Qiyamah. This entire process of keeping quiet, holding his tongue, saying nothing, just to hold the integrity of that girl. That's all. وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Do not call each other nicknames that the person is offended with. I mean, you know, we all know some people have nicknames, but if that nickname, you need to go up to the person. Excuse me, brother, this is your nickname. Are you fine? Are you okay with it? Gigi, no, no, everyone calls me that. It's fine. It's okay. I don't mind. Then you can call him. If he say, it's famous, but I don't like it. You know, I go with it. I'll ride the wave, but I don't feel comfortable with it. Immediately you have to stop. You can't say, but that's his famous name. Immediately we have to stop. If not, every time you call him by that nickname, then it's a sin. وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ. O believers, be careful of thoughts. Just be careful. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِيَّاكَ وَالظَّنِّ فَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ. And how often isn't it, something happens, automatically you're joining dots, and you prepare one picture in the sky, there's nothing there. You made salam to a person and he never respond to you. Okay. I think so it's because of that story. Right, okay. Next time you see me in the masjid, he goes right wing, I go left wing. We won't make salam. Now he makes salam to you. Assalamu alaikum, how are you? You won't even make salam. Yeah, you never make salam to me. Why must I make salam to you? But how about going up to the person? But, you know, I made salam to you, you didn't respond to me. Wallahi, brother, I'm so sorry about it. That's the day my wife got hijacked. I wasn't in my mind. I was busy trying to sort out things. I was so worried and concerned about it. Okay. Now you understand. You were drawing on picture. He's upset with you. Something happened. Nothing like that. Nabi Sam said, be careful of thoughts. Sometimes we think, I think maybe because of this. Perhaps, you know, we invited him. He didn't come. No, maybe this. And maybe that. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that is a sin. Don't even think about it. Sa'id ibn al-As, radiyallahu anhu, his neighbor was selling his house. So the neighbor had it on offer. Someone comes and he says, I'm ready to purchase the house. He says, okay, this is the price of the house. He says, yeah, deal done, value for the, it's a penny for penny, that's the value, it's worth the buck, I'll buy it from you. He says, wait, but hold on. And for the neighborhood of Sa'id ibn al-As, you'll have to pay me 100,000 dirhams. 100,000 dirhams you pay me for his for the neighborhood. So that would be approximately 3 million rand. Approximately 3 to 4 million rand today. That's the value to be his neighbor. He says, wait, hold on. Where you saw, hal yushtara jawarun? You ever saw a neighborhood being sold? He says, excuse me, brother. La ada'u jawara rajulin. I'll never forsake the neighborhood of this man. In ra'ani sa'alani wa illam ra'ani. If he sees me, he asks me, how are you? If he doesn't see me, then he finds out from people about me. In ghibtu hafidhani wa in shahidtu then kharabani. If I'm not around, he takes care of the house. If I'm around, then he's always there for me. You need anything? Anything I can do for you? And if I ever ask him for a need, immediately it's a done deal. He'll do it for me. And if I don't ask him for a favor, long since I've ever done something for you, it's been time and long since I've done something for you. And this was the neighbor. So he says, that's the neighborhood I'm selling. It's for 100,000 rand. So he says, no, if that's the case, I can't buy it. It's too expensive. 100,000 dirhams just for that? Nah, then it's not worth it. Eventually the neighbor Sa'id ibn al-As came and he says, for your kind words, 100,000 dirhams for you. For your kind words, 100,000 dirhams. We ask ourselves, we know what's going around in society. Are people really wanting to be my neighbor, or they're saying, Ya Allah, I don't know who to sell this house to. That's why the ulama, in Arabic they say, Utlubul jar qabla dar. First find a neighbor before the house. Look for a neighbor, he can make it such a headache that you'll want to leave that house. So Utlubul jar first. And we ask ourselves, are people really looking to deal with Muslims? Or they say, this fellow, I don't think so, I can deal with him. Or are people happy about it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that we bring that akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives, akhlaq of the salaf, of the pious that comes into us, and people want to deal with us. And people see the deen of Islam, whether we know it or not, whether we've understood it or not, every one of us are branded ambassadors of the deen of Allah. The moment you carry the name Muhammad, Ahmad, Ismail and Ibrahim, it means you are the follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The moment you wear the garb of Islam, hey, these people read Quran, let's see their life. The moment you wear a beard and you're a person that you dress according to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hold on, these people have Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as their Nabi. Let's see whether they follow suit. Whether they follow it with action. Let's see who is this people. They really believe in him, or they just have like an icon and they have a celebrity? Or really is it a Nabi that they follow? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that we bring the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. And this is what is that final touch we all require. That polishing we require. That polishing is the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, we can be very pious in its place. You can be very rich in its place. We can do umrah again and again in its place. Alhamdulillah. But if that one element of akhlaq is missing, how often isn't it the case? People don't want to deal with someone, don't want to buy from a shop. You say, no, these people, they don't really have proper akhlaq in them. Don't buy from them. They don't know how to talk. One person, all he says, I'll never ever buy from the shop. Why you won't buy from the shop? He says, he swears his workers. If he can't teach and treat his subordinates equally with akhlaq, why must I support him? He doesn't have akhlaq. He doesn't have the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. We bring the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're living very trying times, brothers. Make lot of dua for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make dua for the protection of Masjid al-Aqsa. Make dua for the entire ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherever they are suffering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept us with afiyat because he knows we're weak. Allah kept us severe, very far from the trouble, because he knows if I put this trouble even 1% to y'all, you're going to be running for life. You're not going to manage it. Those people who are standing the grounds, protecting Masjid al-Aqsa, don't ever forget, make lot of dua for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take all of us to Masjid al-Aqsa, inshallah. Make dua for the protection of all of our iman. What's happening around in social media, you're receiving, you're reading, you know everything. But a time is coming where the attack is on our iman. attack is direct. That's all they require, just to strip you of iman. Come masjid, no problem. Just want to take your iman away. Just believe that something is haram, consider it to be halal. You must just consider it halal. That's all. You remain as a Muslim, go for Hajj, do Umrah again and again also. Yeah, but just strip that quality of iman. Therefore, we need to be guarded, making an effort on our youngsters. Ulama are dealing with cases as of the latest breaking news, latest. A person comes and he's telling Mulana, you break the news to my father, I'm not a Muslim. And please tell him not to phone me. And please, Mulana, don't send anyone for gush. I'll be moving very soon. I'm moving out of the country. I don't want anyone coming to knock on my door and give me Dawood for Iman. Please, I don't want to. Don't ever. Bye-bye. Hold on. Okay, let's talk now 1-2 minutes. Mulana, I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want to talk to anyone. But you have Hafidhul Quran. Ya Allah. When we heard that point, Allahu Akbar, that was just that was a blow. That was like an atom bomb. You are Hafidhul Quran and you becoming murtad. Allahu Akbar. Brothers, before it hits our doors, before the signs of Qiyamah are living in our communities, we have to open up that Fadail Amal and have Ta'lim in our homes. We can't continue coming for Fajr Salah alone. You have to bring your children with you. We can't continue doing the deen of Allah only for ourselves. You see, my son, he'll change one day, man. I changed when I was 32. One day he'll change, how? No. We try, very trying times, brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, that ability. Ulama, those that are dealing with these cases, we don't know how much they are crying in the tahajjud salah. Crying for who? For our iman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. We make an effort. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.